I had several titles for this talk, and Aaron helped me to tone it down. For you that don't know me, I'm pretty direct.
Not too pretty.
Thank you, brother. I thought that would be Faye. Faye usually heckles me in the classes, so. So let's take a moment and pray. I know after eating, everybody's ready for naps. Don't let the teaching elder part bother you. I like to be to the point and done. And I won't cover everything that's in the handout because my wife says I never follow them anyway. So that's for your benefit. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in knowing that you are always just, you are always wise and gracious and faithful and loving. We see these attributes in your plan of salvation as we think of it this Christmas season. Would we, as your children, respond in gratitude and service? And we ask these things and request these things and how to respond in Jesus' name. So take a quick look at the title. That's the nicest one I could come up with. We're on the exit ramp and still driving. We don't know how far we are or how close we are to getting off the ramp. So to let you know it's biblical, you'll see the scripture there. 2 Corinthians 4:16, do not lose heart, though the outer self is wasting away. If you don't think your outer self is wasting away, talk to Joe Harder. He also lives in the river of denial, he tells me. But the most important part is our inner being renewed day by day. And that's what I really want us to be thinking about at this stage of life, our inner being. So I've been reading this great book. It's the title of it's in your notes. It's on retirement. Retirement means to continue to withdraw or to step back from busyness. That's really good. But in the book it talks about, instead of withdrawal, let's consider how to retire. My wife has a Subaru Outback. Those things never die. We're grateful for those. And it's got some high mileage on it. And the tires were wearing out. So we had a choice. Do we want to try to buy a whole new car and replace the body? Or do we just retire it and rebalance it? And that's the stage we're at life. We can constantly retire and rebalance our lives. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Retiring is really staying active. I want you to hear the second part, without being busy. Staying active without being busy. As you just heard from some of the speakers, what is it that you can do that you would enjoy doing, giving and receiving, but at a much slower pace? I'll give you the original title of the talk. This is a phrase I got from my mother. She was talking, and as she was aging, and she has a lot of fun with family. And she looked at me and said, as long as I'm smiling and being with my family, I'm not ready for the dirt nap. So I use that phrase all the time. So if you're not ready for the dirt nap, let's talk about how to retire. And there's four categories that we'll talk about in a short time. It doesn't cover everything, but some important things. The first thing is, because we're retired or in the process of retiring, vacation. Vacation's very important. You see here, you use your leisure time, travel, hobbies, but also vacation is about a slower pace. I'm struggling like crazy not to be busy every minute of the day hanging with people. I'd rather do that than anything else. I'm reading a book and I'm saying, this is boring. I'll look at my schedule. I only got four things on my schedule today. I'm supposed to have clients back to back. So learning how to slow down. But the most important thing I want us to focus on is number two, a vocation. A vocation is different than a career. Sometimes your career and vocation go hand in hand. Sometimes your career, how you make a living, and your vocation is separate. There's nothing wrong with that. Our vocation is the calling of God to advance the gospel. And we do that by sharing our lives and our gifts with others. It doesn't mean you have to go verse by verse all the time, or let me give you the four spiritual laws, though you want to give scripture. As you're hearing Roy, what you want to give is your life. If you're not giving your life, you're going to get old very quickly, think old very quickly, and act old. But if you're involved, there's a young lady in here that volunteers her time over at Bridgewater. I won't mention her name, but her last name is, I'm not going to, Greg Becker's mother. I'm not going to mention anybody's name directly. Is still ministering and enjoying herself and smiling and looking after people. And how is it we do our vocation? I've given you some scriptures here. I won't read all of these to you. But Titus 3:8 reminds us this to be being trustworthy and believing and staying active. So with our vocation, what we can be doing is using our wisdom and our background, not only for our age group, but for younger people. I don't know about you, I'm starting to have trouble finding anybody older than me, but there are a few. But usually, my choices are always younger. Don Percuchin's a little bit older than me. He has ministered to me for 15 years when I was on staff and still does. I like the way Don ministers. He knows how to speak to my heart. He gets in my face directly, but spiritually. And he's looked after me for years and years. So our vocation is really, what is your walk before the Lord? Are you thriving there? Or are you sitting on your salvation? Sometimes I sit on mine too. It's more a mindset, and then how do we follow through? And then 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 14, it reminds us how to practice the faith. We're talking about the practicing the virtues of the faith, making your election sure. Am I saying you're not saved? No, once saved, always saved. I had cancer not too long ago, and people asked, were you mad at God? I said, no, mad at God for what? But I'll tell you, I was scared, and I started wondering, am I really saved? I was flooded emotionally, not knowing what the diagnosis fully was going to be. And I was really suffering. And I'm going, am I really saved? Do I really believe this stuff? We all go to those places. That doesn't change your salvation. What helps you to keep you assurance that you are saved is by investing. Investing in the kingdom. And so some of the virtues are knowledge, perseverance. I'm good at perseverance. Self-control, I'm pretty good at that. I'm working real hard at kindness, ask Mary Beth. That's a big one. And as you look through these virtues, some of the things you're strong at and some of them you're not. So Sarah's working real hard teaching me how to be kind. But I want you to be thinking how to work from your vocation. The third point is renewal. This one will help you. You want to stewardship yourself at this stage of life. What do you think about that? Stewardship of yourself. That means keeping active and staying fit in whatever that form looks like. I have to do a lot of stretching now that I didn't have to do because of some of the surgery I've had. And as I feel better, I do less stretching. And I have to remind myself to go ahead and do it. But trying to learn to keep yourself fit mentally, being teachable and willing to learn. Yes, I mentor a number of people, and I enjoy that. I even mentor some guys in their 20s and 30s, and I learn a lot from them, an awful lot from them. If you're a teacher as well as a student, your mind won't grow old. Invest in other people. And you may do it different ways. There's all different ways to do it. But it's about investing in and people. John 15, 1 through 10. I hate to handle Scripture this way. I'm always nervous handling Scripture this way, bunching it together. But that's so that you guys can get home and I can get home to have my nap. So we're just going to do overviews. But John 15, as you know, reminds us of the vine and the branches. But the key word there is abiding in Jesus. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And guess what? You're one of his disciples. Not first generation disciple. But if you're a believer, you are to be a discipler. And so they emphasize here, the emphasis is on permanence and steadfastness in relationship. Just as we have permanence with Christ, and he has steadfastness with us, how are we trying to pass that along to younger people? Or even the most fun place to do it in the whole wide world is grandkids. As my son said to me, "Gee, Dad, I wish you would have been a grandfather first." I said, "Me too. I learned a few things between 27 and well into my 50s. But the abiding here in verses 4 through 10 shows up 10 times. 10 times. Abiding has to do with, as we abide in Christ, we can be fruitful because Christ makes us fruitful because we are working out of our vocation to advance the gospel. Rich is very handy. He's a blacksmith. He can work with his hands. I got a hammer and a butter knife. He does ministry working through his hands and talking to people. Other people can do it on a golf course. Playing cards. Working alongside somebody folding tables. But your focus is on the person as well as the tasks. So spirituality involves doing what is right in the sight of God. Doing what is right in the sight of God. The big Presbyterian word for that is sanctification. The small word for that is hard. To be able to want to do everything for the glory of God. As we're abiding in Christ, we're going to really care about the souls that we're looking at. And we need to do that because it's very easy at our age to get our little enclaves together. I go with, it sounds like my father. Can I tell you about my surgery? And you see the medications on. And oh, my doc says, I don't want to live there, folks. It's fine to go ahead and talk about it, but if we only hang with our age group, we're going to get crusty. I even heard some people say, I didn't get my senior citizen discount. I'm thinking, good for you. They probably think you're younger. Don't complain. But it's said as though we're entitled. We have to be very, very careful because as we age, we get this attitude, I've done my time. Did you have your dirt nap yet? Still on the exit ramp? You haven't done your time. God's still using you. I'm thinking, looking at the men in this room, I hope that I never comment on women because I'm married. I know better. But the men in this room, I'm hoping each guy in this room is at least mentoring one person. And also, hanging with people our age, I'm not against that. But we want to be careful not to let our worlds get too small. Colossians 3. 23:24, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, not men. How many young people that are Christians that are coming up would struggle with that verse? They have job demands. They have family demands. We live in a world of should. They live under should when should is only used for primarily biblical principle or objective principle. You should not run a red light. Everything else is would or could. But these young people need help knowing and working to think a little bit differently, and with your life experience, you can really help them out. So whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, not to men. How long would it take to teach a young person to do that? That's an easy answer. How are you doing with it? I've never been a people pleaser, but I've heard of such things. But we all have a tendency to want to be liked, and that's fine. But young people struggle with those things. And the verse goes on to say, "For you serve the Lord," and helping young folks understand that they're serving the Lord. It's not about getting right, but it's okay if you do get it right. It's really about, are they seeing the gospel come through with you? That will energize you at this season in life, and you'll actually find yourself having joy, even if you're unhappy. Did you know happiness and joy are two different things? Everybody I ever counsel comes in and say, "I just want to be happy. I just want it to be about me and the world to conform to my mood." That's different than the joy in the Lord. It's okay if you're happy. I wasn't very happy with cancer, but I was not unjoyful. The hardest part was for me was people were serving me and I don't know how to receive. How do you do? Some of you probably know how to receive really well, and that's a gift. Some of us struggle with receiving. I still don't like it, but I'm working on it. But a thing I want you to remember, as we hit our 60s, every man in the room knows this, maybe you women do too. As we hit our 60s, we notice we no longer get a second wind. We just suck wind, okay? Once we use our energy is gone. In our 20s, 30s, 40s, and even early 50s, you could recover really quickly. As you start hitting your 60s, the emotional energy isn't there. So as you choose to what to invest in, that's why I want you to slow your pace. Don't try to do the things that you did when you were a kid, because I hear people do that all the time. An athletic friend of mine hurts himself because he doesn't really want to believe he's in his 50s. He still plays softball, but he doesn't play it like he used to. But he would have the energy to play the game. So you got to watch your wind, because otherwise you're going to collapse, get depressed, and withdraw. Now you went into the world retirement. The world retirement, I'll probably offend somebody here, but that's okay. World retirement looks like the Villages. Disney World on steroids. Okay? We'll party all the way off the exit ramp. Is there anything wrong with partying? No. But you want to invest. You have life, you have purpose. The fourth one, and almost done, the fourth one is about relationships. Keeping the deep relationships you have as you're, our oldest granddaughter is 17 and our youngest one is 1 and 4 months. So trying to continue a relationship with the teenagers, you know what that's like. But I'm continuing to try to do that. Have deep friendships with people you've known for a long time. One of the things I've always appreciated about the Valley is people who have been born and raised and live here, they have a whole slew of deep, long relationships. I've moved around, so I try not to be jealous of it, but I enjoy it when they talk about it. Yeah, I was born here, I raised here, I left to go in the military, I came back, and I love it. And they know everybody. That's great. So you want to invest in that, but be careful. You are also to cultivate new relationships. And you do that by doing all stages of life. Not just people our age and younger, but there are people that are older than we are. But to come along that spectrum and have purpose. Covenant has asked several times to greet people. How hard is that? To greet somebody you don't know. It's hard for me because sometimes I forgot somebody's name that was my client. I got a great memory, but I notice it's getting shorter. So I'm learning to say, just say hello, and they'll say, "Hi, John." And I'm going, "Do I say I forgot?" "Yeah, I'll just say, I'm sorry, I forgot." And nobody hit me yet, so I haven't been terrible. But we could be, even just greeting people on Sunday morning would be helpful. But in relationship, choosing to be intentional with our families and modeling what abiding looks like to people we're going to mentor. Of course, you want to do that with families too. We live in a world, you already know that, is what have you done for me lately? Relationship is not built on what have you done for me lately. Relationship is built on I'm your friend. I'm here for you. In fact, I do it very intentionally. People are shocked. A good friend of mine now for about 20 years, when I was interviewing here, was on staff, and I was staying at his house. And I really liked this guy, John Benage. I put my hands on John's shoulders, and I said, I'd like to be your friend. Do you have room in your social schedule? He went, why would you ask that? I said, if you don't have room, you don't have room. Now, that's fine. But I'd like to get to know you. That's what I did with Roy. I wanted to get to know him. Do that. People will be shocked. And I have other friends that really have failed miserably, and they expect me to be mad at them, and I'll just tell them, I'm going to walk with you, brother, but you are an idiot. Okay? You did blow it, but that doesn't affect our friendship. It doesn't affect our relationship. If I need to visit you in jail, I'm glad to do that, and I'll just smile. You know why you're there. But I'm here for you. So to focus more on the relationship. In our age, folks, we got nothing to prove. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to lose in the world of relationships. Relax. Just love on people. So my question here, and Aaron's going to have some other questions, it's in here. Are you aging with purpose, or are you just getting old? I hope you're doing both. But as the Holy Spirit abides in you, I say this every time I teach, the gospel is 100% pure relationship. It's a gift. And out of that relationship, if we have gratitude and take that gratitude with focus and purpose, you can impact somebody's life. You go to Walmart and hold a door for somebody, and they're shocked. Sarah tells me that's kindness. Anyway, so a little bit of kindness, but it's developing that other-centeredness. As you invest in others, you'll renew your own mind. You will stay active. Did you ever feel like wallpaper in a church? Wallpaper is people don't see you and they walk. This is Northern Virginia, and it happens here sometimes. People don't even see you. When I go visit my son in Northern Virginia, literally, they don't even see you. They just walk right through you. When you're around the college kids, do you ever notice they don't notice you? You know why they do that? Because you don't notice them. There's college ministry opportunities here. Take a guy out for a sandwich. And get to know some young people. Millennials need a lot of help right now. There's been poor parenting. They haven't been, generally speaking, there's some wonderful millennials. I'm not saying that. But they need to be taught how to think. They need to be taught how to relate other than about themselves. That's the two extremes right now. The elderly generation and the younger generation are all about themselves. That's normal and natural. But be careful. Let's make it about somebody else. And you'll have fun. And the last thing I'm going to say here real quickly, there's other considerations. I know that you'll find them in the book. And the book, it's in your handout here, Retire Mentality. It's a great book. It doesn't have all the scriptures with it, but it'll tell you how to handle finances. What do you do? Some people are not as fortunate as others financially, and they need to build a safety net for income until the Lord calls them home. Other people have more free time. So don't hear guilt trips or anything like that. Everybody's in a different place. But if you're in your 60s and up, I recommend the book. He's got a newer book that comes out behind it. It's got excellent ideas on finances and that kind of stuff. When I retired from Covenant in 2014, I remember that because that's the year I bought my Mustang. I can't remember details. Why did I stay here? Because I love this church, and these elders and deacons, I've sat with these brothers for 15 years, are incredible people. They care about relationships. So does this church. I could have gone anywhere I wanted, but why would you want to leave the valley? So when new people come in here, well, some of you have been here 1,000 years, so introduce them to Valley Hospitality. I've received it for 18 years now. So those are just my quick thoughts. If you want more, Draper and I will do a Sunday school someday. I learn a lot from him, man. Kindness, I'm learning from Steve. Steve can hug me real nice, slap me in the face, and hug me again. I love it. That's my love language. Thank you, brother.